Welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, where we are committed to changing lives with faith, hope, and love.
Loving and gracious God, great healer and comforter, we come to you in need of that. We need you. We need who you are. We need what you do. We ask that you would bring healing to these who are sick, lift up those who are downtrodden, encourage those who are in despair, and encourage us, O Lord, who love them and who are praying for them, and use us, Lord, in some way to bring your love. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are looking at Max Lucado's book, and it is the subject of that is 1 Peter. And so we've been looking at 1 Peter. We think that Peter either dictated it to Silas or inspired Silas to, you know, pen this letter. And we've been through the first chapter, and today we're going to be looking at parts of the second chapter. They think that it was written around 64 AD, which is early for the writings. It was written to both Jews and Gentiles in the area of modern-day Turkey. There seemed to be some internal threats of faith. There was, people's initial commitment was getting shaky, and so this was these first chapters focus on holy living. Remember how you were called and who has called you, and encourage the behavior to be appropriate after that. So today's scripture reading is from the second chapter. And is there someone who's willing to read? It's verses 4 and 5, 1 Peter.
As you come, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I made some notes, and I'll just kind of read you my notes. And I looked at some of the lesson three there in Max Lucado's book, and some of the questions he had, and came up with some of my own. And I'll just share those with you. And if I can, just ask a question as we go, and that way it'll give you all room to for your own interpretations and your own discussion about the reading. I noticed that, you know, 1 Peter is just full of rocks and stones. Did you notice that, especially in the chapter 2 reading? If you read the whole chapter, all kinds of rocks and stones. Peter, you know, was the rock designated by Jesus, the rock to be the foundation of the church. And he's the one, of course, from whom this teaching comes. And so I want to ask you, what did it mean for Peter to be the rock? What did it mean in his life for Jesus to establish him as a rock?
It may have comforted him because he denied Christ 3 times.
Now, I guess what that says to me is the rock, to be a rock doesn't mean you're perfect. But it does mean that you're forgiven.
When you think of rocks, you think of stability, you know, in the ground, hard, stable, for the most part.
Which a lot of that didn't really describe Peter. So basically, God had to build upon all his faults and shortcomings. Mm-hmm.
Well, someplace in this lesson it said, I was trying to find it, here, the rock, The rock has to be square and plumb because the rest of the building takes its cues from the first block.
Well, the corner.
So it was an honor to Peter that he was named the rock, I think, because God was putting him in a spot where he was to lead the rest of the people. He was to lead the people that he came in contact with and make sure that they were staying close to the Lord.
Seems like it would be a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
To be designated to be the rock and the cornerstone.
I think so too.
A lot of responsibility.
Peter's passion is probably what was necessary for the church to have a startup.
But you know, going back to the first couple of verses of this chapter, can you imagine somebody coming into your house, your town, your whatever, and saying, rid yourself of all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander of every kind. And you go, whoa, who is this guy? You know, to tell me all these things.
Sandra tells me that all the time.
But, you know, the one thing he missed was, you know, get rid of gossip, which all of these kind of fall into the tone of gossip. You know, this guy comes in and he's very passionate. And he's concerned. This is what you need to get rid of. And this is what you need to do. And it's like, who are you?
But it's easier to take, I think, direction from someone who has had faults and has acknowledged those and been forgiven than for someone who hasn't necessarily. I just think about, you know, when I'm on a diet, which is all the time, for someone that's always been skinny, for them to say anything, I don't want to listen to that. I want to listen from someone that has gone the path that I'm going.
To look at the Gospels, you see Peter is someone who mostly just doesn't get it, and he denies and all of that. But when you look at the book of Acts, and these writings of 1st, 2nd Peter, and when scholars have determined that the gospel according to Mark, that Mark took his notes from Peter's narration. And so the influence he had on the church has been enormous. And yeah. So I see where, you know, this guy that didn't get it and denied and, you know, had a pretty bad record. Ended up overall being used in a mighty way.
Just shows how the Holy Spirit was able to sculpt him.
Now going past the lesson now, if you look at verse 6, it speaks of that God will put a cornerstone in Zion. And speaks of Christ, you know, if you believe in him. So it's obviously referring to the Christ. So I think let's consider that a moment. What does it mean for us to have Christ as a cornerstone of our lives? What does that mean for us? And how do we nurture that and open up to Christ being our cornerstone? What do y'all have to say about that?
You know, I remember when we laid the cornerstone to the Speed Building, and it was a very ceremonious time to lay that cornerstone, and you know, you knew something great was going to come from that cornerstone being laid. That this was the fruition of a lot of hard work in the past and fundraising and prayerful consideration of what should be done and stuff. And I think a lot of that is where we are with Christ. This is our cornerstone. This is what we rely on.
What does that mean for us to have Christ as our cornerstone?
The foundation.
He's supporting us. It's our support.
Where are we building from?
Foundation of
the church.
Yeah. Christ is our cornerstone. And what I noticed was, and what I began to think about is really what, let me see which verse. What verse 4 really says, it struck me that the cornerstone is not the whole building. That takes other stones to make the spiritual house. And that's what the call is there in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2:4. To be, you know, be a living stone. A living stone. So it's not just that you have Christ as your cornerstone, but that also means you are then part of the building. You are a living stone yourself. So think about that a minute. What does that mean to you that God has chosen you to be part of the spiritual house?
Well, it means if you look at that, every stone is supporting the other stones. And so every part of the house is being supported and is supporting the other part of the building.
Yeah. Takes all of us.
But the one thing about
very good, Melody,
it has to be absolutely true, what they call trued up. It needs to be perfectly level, perfectly square, in its foundation. And it, because if it's off, then the whole building is off. And then the building potentially will collapse. You know, so, our pizza, good way to show what happens when things aren't square and true.
So let me push that a little bit further. So it's important that we're all there. It takes all of us, supported by Christ, and it takes a particular orientation that we need to be straight and plumb and level, true. And so that indicates that we, as living stones, have traits. What are some of the traits as a living stone to be level, plumb, and true? What are some traits that we are called to have as living stones?
Trustworthy?
Yep.
Obedient?
I didn't hear that.
I said obedient and faithful.
Obedient. That's right. A lot of 1 Peter is about obedience.
That we should be loving.
And that was what I was about to say, loving. You have to be loving.
I think we have to also be forgiving.
Yes.
Resistance of the devil.
Lead us not into temptation.
Yeah. Right.
Be able to resist the temptation to be hurtful.
Need to get rid of all those things in verse 1.
Yeah, we do.
Right.
The jealous, the deceit, the hypocrisy, the envy. the slander.
Yep. When they say evil speaking, they're not just talking about. When I first read it, I kept thinking that you're not supposed to be saying certain words, but that's not really evil speaking. No. It's when you're gossiping and talking down about people.
Hurtful.
There you go. That's a good
word. Right. Hurtful. I think we have to be confident in the fact that God loves us and He is always here for us.
Mm-hmm.
So confidence has to have something in there too.
I think along with it too, we need to be willing to share ourselves.
Have to be what, Harriet?
If we keep everything to ourselves, what have we added to the building?
So what was the first part that you said? We have to share?
We have to share ourselves because if we keep everything unto ourselves, we've contributed nothing to the building. To, you know, the building being the house of Christ, the body of Christ.
Right.
What would that mean in our life in the world and in the church right now, today, in the context we live?
So one of the things that, for me, Bill and I were just talking about this, you know, all the things that we don't do now that we used to do, that we looked forward to doing, but one of the things that we have tried to do is stay in contact with some other seniors that we know that aren't as out and about as we are.
Because
some of them have become so fearful of doing anything that they've closed themselves down. They don't go out of their house. They don't see anybody. They rarely talk to anybody. And if you don't put yourself out there a little bit for others, and I would rather do that than have somebody call me. It's just the way it is for me.
So reach out for others is something that's called for. If we're going to be a stone to keep the house, you know, steady and standing, we've got to, I guess, be the mortar, so to speak, and reach out to those around us.
Well, see, one of the things, like, you know, we may be meeting on Zoom and stuff, but I look forward to this because this is a thing that's been a constant in my life since 2007, is to come to Bible study every week. Mm-hmm. And I look forward to this, and I look forward, you know, even though I'm just seeing faces on a computer screen, it's a connection.
Right.
Yes.
And I'm just sorry we don't have so many of the rest of the people that we used to see every week. And I wonder how lonely some of them are.
And I also wonder about the health of some of the people that...
Yeah, me too.
I don't see here that, like I sit around in church, people that sit around me in church, and I don't know how they are.
Well, thank you all for staying in touch with one another. And, you know, from my experience here recently, the cards that you send are so important. And knowing that you're praying for us is so important. You are living stones that keep the spiritual house standing.
Let us pray. God, forgive us for the times we have left you behind in our struggle to get ahead. Forgive us for forgetting who you are and what you have done for us.
We know you have been there, always waiting, always hoping, and always ready to forgive. May we understand what it means to make you the cornerstone of our lives. Amen.
Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta. Come join us Sundays at 189 Church Street, Marietta, Georgia, or visit us online at fpcmarietta.org.